Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. He is your Savior, isn't He? He can be. He wants to be. In fact, He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19 and 10. And friend, listen. The way things are shaping up, the way the world looks, if I were you and I didn't know Christ as my Savior, I'm honest in what I'm telling you. I'd stop everything else I'm doing. I would find me a place to pray. I would bow my head. I would go before God in humble submission with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, and say, God, I'm a sinner, and if I die this way, I'm going to a Christless eternity. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. I'm sorry that I've sinned. Lord, I repent of my sin, and by faith, the best I know how, I receive Christ as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. Now help me to live for you. If you pray a prayer or something like that, friend, you can say as little as the publican did there standing near the Pharisee when they were at the temple. The publican was way back further than what the Pharisee was, bragging and boasting, but he smote himself on the chest and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible said he went down to his house justified. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, it's not in the words that you say. I believe the Bible teaches us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've been so criticized for trying to help people in a little sinner's prayer, to teach them or help them to prime their pump to call on the Lord. But I'm going to keep doing it because I know it works. I know it works. And friend, if that's you, if I can help you, you reach out to me and you let me know, and I'll do my best to get back in touch with you. And well, we get this thing fixed up. We will. Glad that you're with us today. Debbie and I are excited about the program. Listen, she's got a great song. One of the best songs that she's ever written. Of course, I say that about a lot of them, but the title of it is, Oh, What an Honor. And it is an honor to serve the King. When she gets done with the song, I'll meet you in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, right after the book of Numbers, right before the book of Joshua. And I'll share the message with you. You pray for me. I'm excited.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. I heard a thundering voice, it was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price, one day on Calvary. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah. Serve a King. When I awoke, I realized it was only a dream. Then I heard a still small voice saying, one day it'll be a reality. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. Oh, what an honor the midst of a throne, just praising the King. Oh, what an honor. Oh, what an honor.
Well, how wonderful it is, friend. It is an honor to serve the King. Hey, can I tell you something? I don't have to, but I get to. I get to by the grace of God. I get to serve the one true God, the one who sent His Son into this world through a virgin's womb to live sinless among us, to die substitutionally for us. Oh, friend, to be buried and on the third and appointed morning come out from among the dead that you and I might be justified by faith. Hey, how wonderful it is to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't find it a problem. Oh, it's challenging at times, but I'll tell you what, I don't find it a problem. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, we find a marvelous admonition. It was given by a man by the name of Moses, who was just soon after this, to step off the stage of action. The book of Deuteronomy means the second law, and actually what it means a rehearsing law to a second generation. Maybe they hadn't heard it. I'm not sure. Maybe they had heard some of it, but they didn't hear it like the first generation did at the foot of Mount Sinai when they had recently and newly come out of the nation of Egypt, from the land of Egypt, and from the bondage that they had been in for over 400 years. And here this new generation that had grown up in the wilderness, this generation that their parents had died in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe God and disobeyed God and said, well, we don't want our children to die. The children lived. God caused the parents to die. I'm telling you, God's got an amazing sense of humor. You know that? But this man by the name of Moses, what a great man he was. 120 years of age at this time, he was ready, friend, listen, to step off the stage of action, ready to pass the baton, if you will, to a man by the name of Joshua that we'll read about in the next book as you read on in your Bible. Hey, you know what he was doing? He was preparing this new nation. And you know what he prepared them around? He prepared them around the Word of Almighty God. Oh, I'm going to tell you today, the message is about this. It's good advice for all. It is good advice for all. Listen to what he said in verses 10 and following. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel's come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place where he shall choose, thou shalt read the law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people, he said, men, women, and children, and the stranger that is in thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. Let me give you the text for the message again. I'm talking to you about good advice for all. You know what that is? It's good advice. Listen, for all of God's people, for every different generation coming and going, for every dispensation. You know what the people of God need to be, friend? Do you know what the people of God must be? They must be people of the book, people of the Word of God. Oh, I'm telling you, we're living in strange times, are we not? We're living in times of the last day. I believe personally with all of my heart, the last day apostasy. It's amazing how people have abandoned, bless God, the standard. The standard of Word of God. Look, they'll take any old version, but can I tell you what I'm going to stick with? I'm going to stick with what's been tried and proven. that I'm going to stick with, bless God, what I got saved on. I'm going to die by it. Amen? And that's the King James Bible. Hallelujah. I believe it's infallible. I believe it's inerrant. I believe it's inspired, friend. And you may think I'm crazy, but I may be. But I listen, if this is crazy, you just leave me alone. Would you do that? Here Moses have that children of Israel ready to step out of that 40 years of wilderness and into the land of promise. He was ready, listen, to go meet the Lord. He was ready, like his brother Aaron was, to lay down. To lay down his life and meet his Savior. But I want you to know something, friend. God had called this children of Israel out of the world. He had chosen them for His own. He had made them a people, friend, that was different from all the people of the world. And you know what He did? He entrusted them with His Word. With God's Word. There was never another nation who heard the voice of God. Do you realize that? No other nation was entrusted with the Word of God to hear it, to record it, to propagate it, to live in it. And oh, isn't that way how the people of God ought to be? Shouldn't we be a people of the world, of the Word? You know what God does? God rules the world according to His Word. That's exactly right. God's people must respect, must reverence, and must obey it. There's no choice. We're living in a day, friend, when there's a lot of rebellion, when there's a lot of personal thought that gets promoted and placed above the Word of God. Can I tell you, this book that God has given us, it's alive. Can I tell you, it contains commandments and not suggestions. And if we want to please God, if we want to grow in grace and in knowledge, if we want our testimony to be what God wants it to be, if we want our light to shine, if we want our mission to be accomplished, if we want to honor and glorify God, listen, folks, we must respect, reverence, and obey the Word of Almighty God. Can I tell you something, friend? It's imperative. It's imperative that God's people hear the Word of God. And today, we're hearing about it. I'm telling you, friend, listen, there's a lot of churches that are trying to appease and please this society. They're giving opinions and they're giving ideas. But you know what we need? We need men of God under the inspiration of the Spirit of God simply to rear back and declare the Word of God and profess and proclaim thus, saith the Lord. Lord, friend, let the chips fall where they may. The axe ought to be laid to the root of the tree. I bless God in this day and the hour that we live. And I want you to know this book that I hold in my hand, it's supreme, it's prominent, it's preeminent, it's powerful, it's pure, it's plain. And we'd be wise to do what this passage of Scripture tells us that we ought to do. But you know what? There's a danger. There's always been. There is a danger even today. Today, I'd become stiff-necked. And you say, what is that, preacher? Well, it's a refusal to bow to in humble submission to the Word of God, to the God of the Word, in essence, when you begin to think about it. And instead of humbly submitting to it, and instead of simply being willing to obey it, it means that we would persist in hardening ourselves against the Lord and continuing doing what we want to do instead of what the Word of God commands us to do. Hey, let me tell you again, brother. Let me tell you again, sister. God's people must be people of the book. It's just simply, that simple. Hey, can I tell you what we need to do with the Word of God? Hey, the church today, it's always been every generation of believer, their responsibility. Because, do you know what? Christianity is only one generation away from extinction. That startled me the first time I heard that. But can I tell you what the people of God ought to do? Can I tell you what the lesson, the message, the advice here is in this message. You know what God wants His people to do? He wants His people to take the truth that we find in the Word of God, and the Word of God is true. He wants us to take it. He wants us to guard it. He wants us to obey it. He wants us to teach it. And He wants us to pass it along unto the generation that is following that. So let's look, beginning at the first part of verse 11, at the proclamation. He said, when all Israel's come together to appear before the Lord their God in the place that He shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Now the Word of God is to be read in the synagogue. And there is a reading plan to read through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Law of Moses. All of those things are synonymous term, and they have a process whereby they'll read it through in a certain amount of time. But every sabbatical year, every seventh year, God said, listen, here's what I want. I want everybody to come to Jerusalem, not just the males, like I command them three times a year to come, but here at the Jubilee, at the time of release, I want everybody to come. Everybody, man, woman, boy, and girl, we're going to find out in just a little bit. And I want you to come for a stated purpose. The proclamation is for everybody to appear before the Lord. And you say, well, where's the place? Well, it's the place that God chose. It's the place that God designed. I believe here He's talking about the city of Jerusalem. I believe He's talking about the place that He was going to build Him a temple via Solomon. But listen, friend, there are times when maybe some people couldn't make it. I'm sure God had other places because He uses the word gates there. Hey, I want you to know something. Moses gave a proclamation that came from God. It originated from the God of this people, the God that had chosen them, the God that had redeemed them, the God that had rescued them, the God that had released them from Egypt's bondage only to make them a captive of His love and of His Word. And He brought them to a place, my place, where He and they could commune. Hey, do you know what they communed around? They communed around the Word of God. I'm telling you, friend, if we have any relationship, if we have any fellowship with God Almighty, with His Son, Jesus Christ, and with the joy of the Holy Spirit within us, we'll do it around the Word of God, not around the thoughts of men, not around the purposes of man, not around the plans of man, but we'll do it around the unadulterated Word of God. Now listen, He said, you'll do it in a place that I'll choose. Thank God to have the law read. And He said, when it'll happen, it'll be again before all Israel in their hearing. Can I tell you today, friend, in this day of Christianity, hey, we have a place. We've got the house of the Lord. We call it the church, and the church is what meets in the building. But can I tell you, it's imperative. Oh, it's imperative, always has been. Always will be. But now in these last days, in light of what's happened in the last year with this pandemic, hey, when now we've got the opportunity to get back in our places of worship, we ought to flood the place. We ought to flock to get there. We ought to do everything we can to take advantage of this privilege and of this opportunity. Oh, can you not see how quickly it could be taken away from us? Hey, I want you to know something. It was a proclamation to come to a place to hear the Word of God, and look at what it was for in verse 12. He said, gather the people together. Now you say, who, preacher? Well, the men, women, and the children. He said, don't you call anybody. You get the young. You get the old. You get the well-known and the unknown. Hey, you get those who are educated, uneducated. Hey, if they're my people, you get them there. And if there's a stranger dwelling among you, you bring him or her with you. You get them to that place where they can hear the Word of God, where they can hear it proclaimed, they can hear it explained. Hey, I want you to know something, friend. How God's interested in people. He's interested in souls that will either be saved or lost for eternity. And listen to this now. Listen to the purpose behind it. He said, now you bring your people to this place that I have chosen. Hey, I've made the proclamation, and here's what the purpose is. Here's what's going to happen when you get there. Listen to this. He said, now when you get them there, he said, within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and that they may fear your God and observe to do all the words of the law. Isn't that amazing? There's four things there. And they build upon one another. Listen to what he said. He said, now look, when they get there, they're going to hear something. You know what they're going to hear? They're going to hear the Word of God. Hey, you know what we ought to hear when we go to the house of the Lord? We ought to hear the Word of God proclaimed. We ought to hear it listed, exalted. We ought to hear it explained. We ought to hear it, bless God, expounded in such a way where God's glorified, His Word is honored, His people is edified, the lost are convicted and convinced that they need Jesus as their Savior. Hey, we don't need dance teams. Bless God, we don't need people running around in leotards. Bless God, dancing and performing. We need, instead of a drama team, we need a team of men that will declare the Word of God, which has enough drama within it. Oh, can I tell you, friend? Listen, there's a process. You know what we're to do? We're to get there and hear the Word of God, that we may learn it. We ought to know the Word of God. We ought to love the Word of God. We ought to hide it in our heart. We ought to embrace it. We ought to listen, friend. We ought to do everything that we can to learn its precepts, its principles, its statutes, its judgments. Hey, its expectation. Oh, can I tell you what a privilege it is to live in a nation where we can hear the Word of God preached, where we can gather together without fear and threat. Hey, we ought to embrace it every opportunity that we get and come with our hearts open and our ears open too. He said, now look, you need to get together so you can hear the Word of God and learn the Word of God. And you know what you'll do when you hear the Word of God? You'll begin to fear the Lord. Hey, you say, that's an awful preacher. No, that's wonderful, my friend. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says, fear of thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Hey, can I tell you, our God is a consuming fire. Hey, you don't want to mess with Him. You don't want to deny Him. You don't want to mock Him. You don't want to criticize Him. I'll tell you, our God is amazing. I mean to tell you, He's holy. He's high. He's lifted up. He's predominant. He's preeminent. He's exalted. And hey, He's given us His Word. We're to hear the Word. We're to learn the Word. And when we do, there'll be an automatic fear and reverence of the Lord. Not something that we cower under. Not something that we run away from. But when you mix fear and love together, bless God, you want to reverence Him. You want to honor Him. You want to obey Him. You want to praise Him. You want to glorify Him. You want to honor Him. You want to just know more about Him. And He said, and you observe to do all that's in the law. We don't pick and choose. Do you hear me? Bless God. We ought to preach the whole counsel of God. We ought to preach the Old Testament and the New. We ought to preach from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and 21. We ought to preach. Listen, I bless God, everything God preaches, where God, listen, puts emphasis, we ought to put emphasis. Where God's silent, we ought to be silent. Can I tell you what we ought to do? We ought to give honor to His Word and the Word of God and the God of the Word. Right, listen, we ought to observe it. We ought to, live it out in our life. We ought to hide it in our heart and live it out in our life. And look, let me give you one other thing. I bless God. Look at the prophet in verse 13. And he said that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land. Whether you go over Jordan to possess it, they were ready to go over and get that land. And that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. They were ready to go into that land that flowed milk and honey. They were ready to go in. I bless God and learn of all of those blessings. And he said, now listen, you need to do it for your children. Can I tell you, it's imperative, friend. It's imperative how that we stay with the book, that we stay in the Word of God, that we love it, how that we promote it, how that we proclaim it. It's imperative how that we hear and heed how the Word of God. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need maybe to repent. Maybe need to repent and submit. We need to repent, bless God, and get back to the simple things, the things that produce a godliness in our life. Hey, can I tell you, Moses gave it good advice. It's good advice for all, for every generation. I know this was pronounced by Moses before he parted for eternity. I know he is writing it and proclaiming it to the children that God has chosen, the elect of the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you something, it's good for the elect for the New Testament. I'm telling you, friend, this is advice, good advice for every man, woman, boy, boy and girl, have that names the name of Christ or wants to name Him. Hey, let's take the advice of Moses. Let's hear, let's heed, let's fear, let's reverence, let's obey the Word of God until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.